The Makoros from today should have been challenging. So if you found them challenging, it's not a bad thing. They were not easy. But really, again, as much as they weren't all on the page as much as maybe we normally are, they were all essential, I hope. Just try to understand the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara. Because just the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara is not easy to understand. But in order to understand it, in order to appreciate it, we need to get a better understanding of Kinyan. So this seems like as good a time as any to try and get that understanding of Kinyanim. But again, that's really, otherwise it's just very difficult to understand the Pshat of the Gemara. So just let's make sure that we have the context of the full context of the sugya. So the Gemara had two different lashonos, two different ways to explain the Mishnah. Right? One was assuming that the Ratzu and the Mishnah, what they wanted to do was, the first one was to build a wall, in which case the Gemara was that is medayik, that if it depends on their Ratzu to build a wall, that it must be Hezek Riya Lav Shmei Hezek. The second Lashon assumed that the Mechitza that they wanted to build was not a wall, but that they wanted to divide, right? To make a Plukta. Once they wanted to divide, they had no choice but to have a wall. Why? Because Hezek Riya Shmei Hezek. Good? Fine. Now, in order for the Gemara to have gotten to that conclusion, that the first Mishnah was talking about a situation in which it was required their Ratzon, because again, we're talking about Shutvin, the Gemara said that we have to be talking about a case when Ein Ba Din Chalukah. There is no way that you can be kofa, therefore it's only their Ratzon. You can't just dissolve the Shutvus, the partnership, on your own. It's only through their Ratzon that you're able to do it. So Gemara wanted to know, why did we set it up that way? Not why did the Gemara set it up that way, but why did the Mishnah set it up that way? Right? The Gemara had to understand the Mishnah that way because otherwise they didn't have shot in the Mishnah. But why was it necessary for the Mishnah to teach Hezek Riya in such a way? So the Gemara says there's an added chiddush that I would have thought that in a chatzish ein ba din chaluka, then maybe it would be sufficient to have a Masipas Ba'alma Kamash Malan. Good. So now asks the Gemara, again, we saw this part yesterday, but let's just see it, make sure we understand the full context. So says the Gemara, again, B'mayo came to the Mustis, and how did we set up the Mishnah? B'she'ein, but in Chalukah, we're talking about a situation in which there is no Din Chalukah. So now they're going to ask the question, wait. If we're talking about a case where there is no din chalukah, which means that one partner cannot compel the other one to, against his will, divide the property. Kiratsu mayhave. So what difference does it make if they agreed? Nehadrabahu. Let them be chozer. What does that mean? What does that mean? They're going to be chozer. Let them back out. What are they backing out of? Let them back out of the division. Let them back out of the division. Dividing is going to force me now to pay for a wall. Okay, there's enough that I have to divide, I get rid of you, but I have to pay for a wall. I'm not interested in paying for a wall. That is where we left off. Again, we went through a little bit yesterday in terms of who is it, which is that kasha of the Gemara only on the second lashon of the Gemara, only on the man da'amar who says guda, or is it even on the man da'amar who says that it is a kosel in the first? And Rashi learned it that way, Tosfos learned differently, and then we saw who would derive it, maybe an in-between sort of shita. So now the Gemara says, wait, I can get around it. What's your problem? Not in a bad way, right? What's the problem here? What's the problem? What's the issue that we're dealing with? That they can be chozer. I have another way of making sure that they cannot be chozer. Another way of making sure they cannot be chozer. And that would then, everything else would then be able to flow. So says the Gemara, Amar Vasyam Rabbi Yochanan, Shekanu Miyadan. They made a kinyan. That is going to be the main word of the day, and we're going to have to understand what that means. We'll analyze each part in a moment. And what's that supposed to do? At this point of the Gemara, we're assuming that if they made a kenyan, then you can no longer back out. There's no nohajabu. Says the Gemara, what does a kenyan help? Kenyan dvarim ba'almahu. It's just a kenyan dvarim alone, and apparently a kenyan dvarim ba'alma doesn't work. It does not work. Why? We don't know why. But it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, then what does that mean? You can be chozer. And how your kushla dukta? Right? We're talking about anybody in chalukah. How can you compel anything? They can be chozer. To that, the Gemara responds that it's not. It's not a kinyan dvarim ba'alma, because b'shekanu miyadon b'ruchos. They acquired it from each other with directions. Okay? We don't know what, and therefore, the kinyan is valid. It's not a kinyan dvarim. And shalom al Yisrael, everything is going to be fine and dandy. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what we need to understand, right, is what is the nature of a kinyan in general? Because if we don't understand the nature of the kinyan in general, then we're not going to understand why a kinyan dvarim doesn't work. And once we understand why a kinyan dvarim doesn't work, then we can try to figure out what is overcome when you have a shekanah miyadon beruchos, right? Those are the things that we need to understand. So as always, let's just start with Rashi. So it says Rashi. Kinyan devarim hu. It is a kinyan on words. V'ein chalipin
konin eladavar nikna.
Chalipin only works to acquire something that can be acquired. B'mechner o b'matana. Either a sale or a gift. O shibud karkaos. Shekinyan chalalav o matalta. Or shibud karkaos. What is shibud karkaos? Right, shibud is the fancy word that the Gemara uses for a lien, meaning that I have rights in something of yours. Right? If I have a mortgage on my house, so the bank has a lien against my house. As long as I pay them the money that they're owed, it doesn't manifest itself in any way, shape, or form. But if I fail to pay, then they can, because of that lien, right, they can collect from and take away the house, whatever they're going to do, or get the money, whatever they need to do. But again, the point is that the lien is something that they have now. Right? It's a right that they have right now. So that would work, Kishivan Karkos, or Metaltalin. Now Rashi threw in a word here at the very beginning, which we have to understand. What is Chalipin? Right? We can kind of talk about it. We have to understand what is Chalipin. So before we understand what chalipin is, I think we need to understand what kinyanim are. What are kinyanim? And then once we understand about kinyanim, then we have to understand why does Rashi assume that we're talking about chalipin? Right? There are other types of kinyanim that are available. Rashi does not seem to be zeroing in on those. So why does Rashi assume that we're talking about chalipin here? What is chalipin? What is a kinyan? Okay. So what is the concept of a kinyan? Right? By doing an action, I acquire something. Why should that work? And we have different types of kinyan, right? We have, when it comes to, movable objects, we have mishicha, right? Pulling. We have hagbah. We'll see when it comes to karka, which we'll leave aside for the moment. We have seri kinyan echazaka. We have kinyanim when it comes to ishus, right? Getting married, isha nignes. There's some sort of kinyan going on there. So kesef certainly seems to be a type of kinyan.
Shtar.
We know shtar by ishus, right? but we have to see if shtar is limited. B also fits in specifically with Ishus, but we'll get to that later. Right, we have different types of kinyanim. Different types of kinyanim. So what are these kinyanim about? What's the concept of a kinyan? So again, a kinyan is a method of transference or acquisition. And what it means is this. What it means is this. As a rule, we try to translate reality in the simplest way possible. I think we've spoken about this beforehand. And therefore, we have a concept in Chazal of Chazaka kol ma shetachas yad adam shelo. Whatever is in a person's possession, we assume belongs to him. Meaning, if you're sitting at a desk and you have a computer, the simplest understanding of this situation, now there's not always an afkamina to it, but the simplest understanding is that it's your computer. Why? Why don't I assume that it was, you know, Reuben's computer and you took it? Because that's not the simplest understanding of reality. We try not to complicate things more than necessary. So if we have two people in some sort of argument, and we don't know exactly what's going on, but the person claims that what was belonged to him in his reshus, we'll get this a little bit later with the bricks falling down into different possession, we assume that whatever is in your possession belongs to you. Chazaka kol ma shetachas yad adam shelo. So what a person is holding, right, probably belongs to him. When we need to change ownership, right, so we could have said that we just agree. But at what point does that change happen? Right? Let's pretend that we don't know anything about kinyanim. Pre-today, right? Very limited knowledge of kinyanim. I want to buy something from you. We agree that I am going to buy your computer for $500. When does the computer become mine?
When you pay for it and you get it.
When you pay for it, it's one possibility.
When it's in your possession.
When it's in your possession, meaning I pick it up. Or the other possibility is when we agree. All of those were possibilities. What's the nafkamina? It's a big nafkamina, right? What happens if Reuben gets out of control for a second and bashes the computer with a bat? So,
as I tend to do.
As you tend to do, right? What? Well, am I out the money or are you out the money? It's a very simple nafkamina, right? We know you owned the computer. But at what point? We already agreed to it conceptually. At what point does it become mine? Therefore, the Torah understands that because ownership, again, so much of ownership is perception of reality, the simplest way for ownership to change is by acting like an owner with the object. Using the object as if I own it. And that, with the requisite das, meaning if I just go over and I pick up your computer and I act like an owner by taking it and putting it in my bag, right? That's also a type of kinyan. It's called kinyan gneva, right? Meaning, so I'm treating it as mine, but I'm stealing it. It's a little more complicated than kinyan gneva, but there are kinyan gneva, right? Because you can acquire something. The point is that if we set up the scenario, if we set up the situation in which our das is that this should happen, but das isn't enough. The fact that we have a meeting of the minds that I'm going to purchase the computer for $500 does not make it mine. It does not. What happens if I back out? Okay, that's an interesting question. That might have to do with my na'amanus and how good of a person I am, keeping to my word. But in terms of who owns it, it belongs to you. It becomes mine when I use it as an owner would use it. So when it comes to an animal, what is the normal way you use an animal? You pull it, right? You put a leash, whatever. You pull your cow, your donkey. So that is a kinyan meshicha. When it comes to a regular movable object like the computer, when I pick it up, that I'm taking it, that is, again, I am using it like an owner uses it. We'll see, again, we're not going to get into details today because it's really more nogea for tomorrow. That's, when it comes to land, that's the concept really of the cheskas karkos also. If I start digging or the like in the land, again, all this with the das, right? Without the das, nothing happens. But das is insufficient. It's right. It's necessary, but not sufficient. Right? It's a condition that has to be there, but it is not enough. Oh, So that is the simplest way of kinyan. That's really what kinyanim are all about. The truth is that that is likely, again, it's a chiddush of the Torah, but it makes sense, that's likely why, when it comes to kiddushin, you can have a kinyan through bia. What's the conceptually, what is it? Is that treating the woman in a way that's a usual manifestation of marriage can also concretize the marriage. Right? It's conceptually, it's the same thing. Now this does not, right, we have not addressed yet, kesef. We have not yet addressed kesef. Oh. So that's the general rule. Now kesef seems to be a little bit different. And in truth, according to some, it might be a weaker form of kinyan. A weaker form of kinyan. Now, it's hard for us to imagine, because in the United States, that's probably the main form of kinyan, right? You pay for something, and it belongs to you. And again, there is a concept of the Minhag Medina defining the methods of transaction. But again, just from a Torah perspective, we know that kesef can work in some situations as well. Why does kesef work? So again, we understand why it's a weaker form. Because I'm not interacting with the object in any way that reflects ownership. However, it is still a normal way in the marketplace for ownership to transfer. And therefore, it is given significance as well, and can also be used as a form of acquiring. Again, there are more details to kesef than that, when kesef works, when kesef doesn't work. But again, we understand now at least why kesef is a little bit different than the other ones. Okay? When it comes to kesef, it's a weaker form of kinyan because it doesn't reflect my ownership in the same way. The fact that we recognize it as a form of kinyan seems to be much more because it's accepted in the world as a form of kinyan. It's a normal way. And therefore, and again, there are situations, which are going to bring us to the next forms of kinyan that we have, there are situations in which, you know, Mashicha, Habarcha are impossible. Right? I can't do it right now. Let's say I'm not with the object. Is there any way that I can acquire it? Or do I always have to do with the object in order to acquire it? That would certainly, in terms of business, that would hamper my ability to conduct business if I have to be there in some way to act as an owner. Shtar, when it works, again, it's a little done. When it comes to Isha, it is a kinyan, it might not always be a kinyan, but a shtar might also be a similar kind of concept that there might be, it might reflect some sort of common practice in the workplace, but again, it's not a normal shtar. Shtar also could be, the concept is that if I give you proof of ownership, hagufa is me giving up my ownership. Meaning, having proof that something belongs to me is also something that usually only an owner has. So if I have a document that says that this belongs to me, that also is almost a form of ownership. But again, shtar is also a little bit different. So what is chalipin or sudar? There are two words for a similar type of thing. Chalipin literally means to switch. And sudar, a cloth of some sort, a handkerchief, something. They are interchangeable terms, in most cases, for another type of kinyan. So what's happening in this case? In the case of the sudar, we're dealing with a situation where I'm not with the object. I can't do, again, the simplest form, I can't do one of those kinyan. But we still want to transfer. And therefore, we design a system whereby picking up the sudar with the necessary gemiras das, again, with the meeting of the minds, that effectuates the transfer. And it becomes mine at that point. We most commonly see as kinyan sudar used when it comes to mechiras chametz, right? Lifting up the pen, people don't really know what they're doing. Right? They're not selling the chametz to the rabbi, hopefully. Otherwise the rabbi's got himself some trouble. But you are giving him a right. You're giving him a power of attorney to be your shuliach. When it comes to the other one is at a wedding. At a wedding, a kinyan sudar is usually done for the chasad to be mechayev himself to the obligations of the ksuba. It's a name as well, but those probably aren't real obligations anyway, but that's for another time. But the ksuba certainly is are real obligations, and you can be mechayeh yourself to it. Oh. How does it work? What is this kinyan of chalipin? So it seems like kinyan chalipin is really a different type of kinyan that the Torah saw was necessary because there are certain situations, like we said, when you're on the road, you're not near the object can't move, you're karka, whatever it is, and you need an alternative way. And therefore, the way many understand it, the Rav has a large piece on this, I think in honor of Rosh Hashanah's Svar, that kinyan chalipin or sudar is fundamentally a kinyan of das. It's a kinyan of das. Meaning it's a trying to take that agreement that we have together and to elevate it to a point where that is going to be enough to actually transfer the ownership. One of the rayas that it is a kinyan of das is, again, I probably didn't have time to see, but anyways, the Tosos in Sanhedrin on Dav Vav, he goes through, it's a large Tosos, it goes on top of Beis as well, goes through a lot of the details of Chalipin, but he has a Hava Amina that you need Edim present to witness the Chalipin. It's interesting. Why do you need Edim? When it comes to Mashiach, I don't need Edim. Yes, Edim are helpful if we have a dispute later. Right, there's what we call, right, there are two different types of edus, right?
In general, it's important to know, right? We have edus l'raya, edim which serve as a proof, right? So if I make the kinyan on the computer, and there are no witnesses, and then you claim that, it's he said, she said. Right? It's my word against his word. If they're edim, then I'm giving that a proof.
That doesn't mean that the sale was only effectuated because there were edim present. It's a bonus that now we have proof. But we have another kind of edus tekiyum hadavar. That the edus is necessary in order for the thing to happen. The clearest case of edus tekiyum hadavar is edi kiddushin at a wedding. They're not there for the riot. Right? If they don't have edim, they are not married. It's not that they're married, but they can't prove it if they get into a fight over the ksuba. They are not married. I think the language that Rabbi Rosenzweig used to use for edus tekiyum hadavar was a solemnizing presence. Right? It turns the moment, it raises the bar in terms of the seriousness. What does that help with? Because it's about, you need a certain level of Gemira's Das. You have to be serious about what's going on here. So there's a Hava Amina, Tosos rejects it for other reasons. But the fact that there's even a Hava Amina, that only Chalipin, or Kinyan Suder, would need Edus Tekiyum HaDavar, shows that it's about the Das. And that's really what it is. Right? So the fact that we picked something up is a way of me showing that this isn't just, talk between us, but I'm doing something to show my seriousness. And that can act as a kinyan as well. And that's why everybody agrees, even though by Kesef we have Machlokesim, and these are also limited, a kinyan chalipin can work whether it's on metaltalin or whether it's on karka. Whether it's movable objects or whether it's on karka, right? Chazaka over here is only on karka. Mashiach and Hagba are obviously only on movables, only on metaltalin. You can't pick up the land. Kesef is a machlokas, as we spoke about before. But chalipin can work on anything. Why? Because once it exists, if it's a kinyan which takes place through the Gemira's Das, that I'm serious about this, and that I did an act which reflects it, and that could transfer the ownership, who cares what's being transferred? What difference does it make? Good? Oh. So now, why is Rashi assuming that we're talking about Kinyan Chalipin? Because none of these other Kinyanim could really be Nogeya. Again, Ravashi's going to come along tomorrow and maybe try to get into the Chazaka world. But the basic Kinyanim that we have, they're making an agreement. They're agreeing to divide. What Kinyan can you attach to that? Right? It's a concept. We're agreeing to divide. So the only possibility is that it's chalipa. Good? Yeah? But now the Gemara raises a problem. Right, so that's the first step. So first step of the Gemara is Kanami Adam. They made a kinyan. What did they do? They made a kinyan chalipa. They went, they agreed that they're going to divide, lifted up the handkerchief, shine genuk, everything is done. But frek the Gemara, no! It's a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. Kinyan dvarim ba'alma. It's only a kinyan on words. So chalipin, we just said, is a kinyan on das. Kinyan on das. It's a kinyan on the das to make some sort of acquisition or some sort of transference. So says Rashi, back to that same Rashi, Ve'ein chalipin konin eladavar ha'nikna. Omecher omatano shibri karkos ha'kinyan chal alav. Omatato. Says Rashi, what the Gemara is saying is that you need something, right? These are the key words. Shaikinyan chal alav. The same way, conceptually, right, we said that just us deciding and coming to an agreement is not enough to transfer ownership. What Rashi is telling us, the pshat in the Gemara, is the Gemara says it's only a kinyan dvarim, is that there are limitations on the chiddush of chalipin. And that just coming to an agreement and just having a conceptual idea and saying, oh, we're serious about it because we did a chalipin, that is not sufficient. There also has to be something that the kinyan is going on, even though I'm not physically interacting with anything. But there has to be some sort of transference that is taking place. The Kiddush of Chalipin is in the method of Kinyan. Right? That this method of Kinyan will be enough to transfer something. But we never have a Kinyan without transferring anything. Right? Every Kinyan effectuates some sort of transfer. So if I'm selling you something, I can do that with a Chalipin. Because as soon as it's a Chalipin, the item becomes yours. If I am giving you a gift, right, Rashi Matana, that also, it's going to become yours. Even if I'm being Meshavi to Karka, which means creating a lien, as I said at the beginning, is real. That right, I can't see it. So you might have thought that that's only Dvarim. Says, no, the right is something that I really have. I can go to Beis Din. Right, my right is there in your Karka right now. I have a shtickle ownership. Which might be the pshat in the shibud, right? It might be that I own it, but I can't act upon it, right? Usually ownership is two stages. Some want to call this a kinyan haguf and peros. Maybe I own something in the guf with the shibud. I own something in your house, but I have no right to the peros. I have no right to actualize it unless something happens. That is a shibud. But again, something has been transferred. Was there one more example of Rashi said? Or metalto, or the easy one, right? If I want to do the computer, so I'm too lazy to pick up the computer. So we lift up the handkerchief and says, shine! Now it has transferred. But if it's only words, there is nothing for the kinyan to go on. Meaning, the kinyan is about creating a new way to transfer the things that are transferable. It doesn't replace the need for there to be some sort of transfer. So even if I up the das, and I full-fledged das, that is not sufficient. That is not sufficient to say that the kinyan is automatically going to work. Yeah?
Why can't we say here that we're transferring the rights of each property? Now, I'm transforming the kosher to be used for my koi pond in front of my house.
Right. So the problem at this point, okay, you have to remember which step of the Gemara we're in. At this point of the Gemara, right, we have our chatzer, and our chatzer is owned by both of them. We are agreeing to divide but we haven't decided yet how to divide. So what's it going on? It's only a right. Because maybe we're going to decide to divide like this. Or maybe we're going to decide to divide like that. What you're saying is the answer of the Gemara, right? Is that once we designate, again, which we'll try to understand in a minute, once we designate sides, okay, so then we could say that that's transferred, maybe something has happened. But now it's still amorphous. We don't know how we're going to divide it. So what we've agreed to is the conceptual framework for a division. Conceptual frameworks are not nitfas in a kinyan. A kinyan can't relate to it. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. The lashon of the Rashba was, right, shechaluka einu davar sheish lo guf. There's no substance to it. There's no substance to it. Is there substance to a shibud? The answer is that there is. It's not something that we can see. And einu guf doesn't mean that we have to necessarily be able to see it. But there is a right of ownership that has actually transferred. And that has not worked here. So meaning, if we give you a good example, because maybe we just help to conceptualize this a little bit. If we decide that we are going to do something, it's not necessarily subject to a kinya. So, for example, it is not uncommon if I have a restaurant, and I'm hiring you to cook in my restaurant. The recipes belong to me. Right? So it's not uncommon to make you sign what we call a non-compete, which would say for a certain amount of time, let's call it a year, after your employment is terminated, meaning either you decide to leave or I decide for you to leave, that you cannot work at another restaurant within, we'll call it, 15 to 20 miles. Doctors have the same thing often, right? They're nervous that a doctor is going to be part of a bigger practice, want to go off on his or her own, and then chop the patients. So if you want to open a practice afterwards for a certain amount of time, you can't open a practice within 25 miles or whatever it is. Strictly halacha right now, in terms of kinyanim, if we agree to that and make a kinyan on it, it is a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. The kinyan is not binding. Because nothing has transferred. There isn't. It's not that you have an ownership in me towards my ability. There's nothing. Again, there may be halachic ways to do it. It may be dishonest to do it. We're not saying you're a good guy. But you're not going to get the Midos award at the graduation. But, in terms of conceptually, that's what we mean. So if we decide to divide, that's no different than us deciding that if you leave, again, it's. I think the non-compete is a little easier to understand because it doesn't even exist yet. Right? We're being mechayev ourselves now to something which will be in the future. The chalukah, we're ready to do it right now. We're going to do it in an hour. But right now, we make a kinyan just on that right to divide. It is not how. That's the kasha of the Gemara. So again, the Gemara is saying that the kinyan should work. What kinyan? The kinyan chalipin? Because the kinyan chalipin is about das. It's about das. And this is a decision. Oh! So the kinyan of dash should be enough. Says the Gemara, no, you're not understanding what a kinyan dvarim is. You don't understand what a kinyan of dash is. A kinyan of dash raises the dash when something is being transferred. But something which doesn't exist is what we would say is not nitfas in a kinyan. It's not transferable. If it's not transferable, the game doesn't start. The game, you can't talk about a kinyan on something which you can't possibly transfer. Oh. If that is all the case, now that we have this understanding, I think we can understand now better what Tosfos and Rashi were dealing with yesterday. Meaning, this shaklavatari of the Gemara over here, we were discussing, is it true only according to the Mandamar who says a division? Or is it also true, according to Mandamer, who says that it is a wall? Now, if it's just about a division, so we understand why we're talking about Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. Because we're deciding to divide. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's transferring. If we're talking about a wall, now there's a lot to talk about. Now there's a lot to talk about. Right? Because that's what Tosos was addressing yesterday, right? Right? The back of Tosos, Kiratsu, Mahavin, Hajru. The Mandam Mechitza Duda Lopar, the Kasha, the Gemara, is not according to the one who says that we're doing a wall. Why? The Ikalim, the Kanu, Vishibdu, Nefsein, and Bidinat Tosel. Because the shakla, the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, oh, it doesn't work because it's Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. It doesn't make sense according to him. Because we can design that relationship in a way in which they're being mishabbing their money. I now have a right in your money to help me build that wall. There's something which is transferring right now. Maybe I'm even transferring the money on a certain level, maybe to an escrow account or something like that, right? In which we're going to take from the money in order to be able to build. Or maybe it's a shiva in my money that you can collect from it. But there's something that's happening. If it's just about the chaluka, then there's nothing which is happening yet. And that's exactly what that Yad Ramah was saying. Right? If you look back at the Yad Ramah, he writes, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, B'shekonu Miyadam, V'akati Kasa Gadaitach, I'm still assuming, B'shekonu Miyadam, Lachlok Ka'amar. Now what are we talking about? That they agreed to divide. U'makshin and Allah, and on that we ask, B'chikonu Miyadam, Mayave. Who cares if they made a kinyin? Kinyin Dvarim Ba'amahu. It's only kinyin on words, V'lehajibu. And they can be chozer. Why? Listen carefully. The lo mahani kinyan, a kinyan does not work. El hecha dekanum line agufe dimamona. It has to be on the money itself. Bein lachni mamona, bein lechiyuve dimamona. Either the actual transfer of money, like a mecha or a matana, or something like that. Or that I'm obligated, the shiva in my money. But something which is another step removed. Meaning, right now, when we're making the chalukah, if we obligate ourselves to chalukah, then it's only the next step is now we have to build a wall. So it causes, by the fact that we decided to divide, that will now lead to a situation of money. But that's not what the kinyan was on. The kinyan was on the wall. The wall doesn't exist yet. It's too far removed. If we were talking about building the wall itself, then we could talk about an actual shibud to build a wall. That's real. That's something that we can discuss. But this not. It's exactly what the Yad Ramah is trying to distinguish between. It has to be something which is transferable. Within this, there's an interesting machlokas in the tour. What's that issue? The issue is like this. So the Rush, let me just back up the Rush for a second. So the Rush here in Siman Gimel learns like Tosfos, right? Says the Rush, we'll see the first half, the second half of Mirza Shem, we'll see tomorrow. The first half of the Rush says, V'chi ratzu mayhabe lahajibu. What difference does it make if they agree? They can be chozer, change their mind. Amr b'yochem v'kishakonu miyadon, nemeri kinyin v'chikonu miyadon mayhabe kinyin v'chikonu miyadon, who cares? Who cares? That's kash of the Gemara. It's only kinyin v'chikonu miyadon. The mandamar mechitza guda, according to the mandamar, right, beis, amid beis. That a mechitza means a wall, so nicha. Then everything is good. Why is it good? The kaven dekanu v'shibdu nechseim lebinyan hakoso. Once they were mishabed their money towards building the wall, then that's a real transference, like Tosfos was saying. Lav kinyan dvarimu. I've read the mechitza plukta, but according to one who says that a mechitza is just a division, Shelo nisratzu ela lechalutza. They didn't agree to build the wall. They agreed to divide. We're going to go and tell you, well, if you agree to divide, then you're also going to have to build the wall. Ain't got shiba nechasim. So there is no shibud. There's no lien. V'lo mecher. V'lo matanos. There is nothing that actually changed hands. That can't be a kinyan. V'eino lekinyan amashe yatfis. There's nothing for the kinyan to go on. You have to, again, a kinyan is about a method of acquiring. You have to acquire something, and there's nothing there. Words alone are not something. Words alone are not something. Oh. Now the Beis Yosef understands this rush. That it must be that it must be explicit in the kinyan, right? If the kinyan is to build a wall, right? If we agree, like, oh, we're going to build a wall, that is a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. It's no different than the non-compete. It's no different than we agree to divide. Masha'en king, and this is the point that the Rush would then be making, is that it can be framed. Not that it's automatically framed, but building of a wall can be framed in a way that is legitimate. So if they frame it as, I am a shabbat my nechassim towards the building of a wall, so then the shibud is nitfas in a kinyan. You can have a kinyan on it. But if they just say, we agree to build a wall, and they don't discuss the shibud, then nothing transferred. And then nothing changes. The Torah does not make such a chiluk. The Torah does not make such a chiluk. And once they agree to build a wall, I guess what he's saying is that implicit in that, that we're agreeing to build a wall, is that I am being mishabed my nechassim towards it. And that is how. Right. Now, why is that different than agreeing to divide and then building a wall? So the Drisha says that even according to the Torah, you have to see how distant it is. You know, when it comes to contracts, when it comes to deals, you always have to think a little bit about what's normal. So even though if we agree to build a wall and we know that there's an expenditure involved directly in what we're agreeing to do, so what the Torah seems to be saying is that then obviously you're being meshaveh, you're nechassim to it. The two have to go hand in hand, even if you didn't say it. Masha enke, when you agree to divide, even though you're then going to have to build a wall, it's still a step removed. And as long as it is a step removed, then you are not going to automatically assume that the kinyan is going to be okay. Good? Okay. Last step here, before we get to all this is just lines in the Kasha, the Gemara. But the last step in terms of this is the Ran over here. So it says the Ran quotes from the Geonim. Amru v'shem ha-Geonim Zal. Say in the name of the Geonim, Dehu Hadin, that the same thing is true. L'omer l'chaveru eten l'chama sayim zuz v'kanu miyado d'lo mahani shekinyin dvarim v'almahu. Wow. We make a kinyan that I am going to give you $100. Say the Geonim. Just a kinyan dvarim, just a kinyan on an action. It's just a kinyan on an action. And it is considered to be a kinyan dvarim. I didn't tell you. I'm going to sell you this land for 100.
The first guy is Konet for the lower price. That again, he was desperate for for money. If he ends up great, question is he allowed to sell it for more? Because I only agreed to sell it to you for the lower price. When I can get a better price, I'm going to sell it to the one second to the higher bidder. But it's clear that if I'm selling it for the lower price, I have to sell it to the first guy. Why should that be true? It's a kinyan dvarim ba'alma, right? It was just an oral agreement. He says, Ika lemeimer da'yi b'da'amar li me'akshav v'kona mi'adai. So you have to say that, but it's the case when I said retroactively, right? Me'akshav is the language of retroactively, from now, and they made a kinyan d'lav kinyan dvarim le'mocher b'tanayi. So it's a sale on condition that if I sell it this amount, I'm going to sell it to you. That's his, I guess we call it the technical way of
what's that last
of getting out of it. The answer is that it's not a kinyan dvarim ba'alma because it's a sale with a condition. But you have to tweak the language accordingly. The language, the way it is right there, doesn't seem like it's a sale with a condition. But if you treat it that the sale is going to be from now, if I sell it for 100, instead of I sell it for 100, it's retroactive to now. So it wasn't that we made an agreement, that we made an actual sale. Right, and Mechar is allowed to go in with Chalipin. Yeah.
What about like making a deal and shaking on it? Is that any kind of kinyan or is it?
So, yes and no. The answer is that the Gemara does have a concept of shaking as being a ma'aseh kinyan because that's a way in the marketplace of doing it. So it's a broader topic. I mean, there are more kinyanim than these. I was trying to use the multi-use kinyan, discuss the multi-use kinyanim for the most part. But there are kinyanim that if you do whatever it is that's the minhag in the marketplace, that would be chal. But again, there also the chol would have to be on something. I mean, kinyan dvar might still be an issue, just you don't necessarily have to lift a suder with everybody. Oh. So there are those that disagree with the with this rod and assume that if I promise to give you money, it's not a kinyan dvar. Not a kinyan dvar. And both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Hei. How can that be? What's that machlokas about? Right? I say I'm going to give you a kinyan dvarim. I say I'm going to do something, doesn't work. So I say I'm going to give you money. I say I'm going to divide. I say you can't. As long as I'm just saying, the kinyan shouldn't work. So why is there a machlokas about it over here? So it seems to be that it's just a technical machlokas within the particular case, which is my intention to give it immediately or not? Meaning the same way I can give a gift, I can also transfer you money immediately. So when I say that I'm going to give it to you, if my intention is to give it to you now, so then the kinyan can work. That's a case of matana, right? I'm allowed to transfer. If I want to give this computer to you right now, I'm able to do that. The kinyan suda. Question is, when I say that I'm going to give money, how do we interpret that? Is it that I'm going to do an action in the future? In which case, it is only a kinyan dvarim. It's only a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. Or do we say no? Or do we say that it's not a kinyan dvarim ba'alma because my intention is really for it to transfer right now, and transferring right now is in fact nitfas. In a kinyan. Is nitfas in a kinyan? Good? Okay. Did you guys see any of the makoros on the next part of the Gemara? So maybe let's stop here. What we're going to do, there was an awful lot here. I think we could die to also chazer this at some point. There's many yesodos, but again, even just interpreting, understanding the Gemara and kinyanim.